Beyond the Barbell is a proud supporter of the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run. Now here's Rory Zambard with a message inviting you to join her and hundreds of other people for this exciting event.
Join us for the Ultimate Hawaiian Trail Run on September 17, 2016 on the beautiful island of Kauai, Hawaii. We have a 5K, a 10K, and a 5K team run options through one of the most beautiful parts of the island. 100% of the proceeds goes to supporting CrossFit Poipu's kids program that's free for all of the kids on the island. Registration and tickets are going quickly. There are very few spots left. You can follow us to our website for more information and registration, www.ultimatehawaiiantrailrun.com. Thank you, and we hope to see you there.
Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I'm Ben Alderman. We're sitting at the CrossFit Games with JP from Brick CrossFit, or from Brick, and Jason Kalipa from NC Fitness. And these guys combined, I think, have 700 locations nationally and 1,000 intergalactically. So they're
here.
Yeah,
we're still busy counting them.
Yeah, right. No, we're just stoked to have you guys on the show. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So right,
I made my way here. I was a little bit not on time, but hey. No better time than the present. Let's get this thing rocking and rolling.
Yeah, there you go. So right now you guys have teamed up to do something pretty cool. It's called Box to Business. Can you tell us just a little bit about that, your heart and your vision in that, and where you guys are trying to go with that?
Sure. Yeah, yeah. So Box to Business really started as a, you know, JP and I were talking, and I was just thinking, man, the affiliate community, the functional fitness, service-based industry, et cetera, they need some support in regards to how to run a business. You know, they're passionate, they love what they're doing, but they don't have the systems and procedures to grow their business to make it sustainable. And so I was talking to JP. We decided to start doing some things. We started off originally doing it like really nice hotels and balling it up, and we never made any money, right? It wasn't our intention. But now we do all of them for charity. So after my daughter was diagnosed with leukemia, I went to JP, and I said, hey, JP, I'm really passionate about helping you know, the fitness industry. I know you are too, but I'm also really passionate about helping kids. And I don't need to make money off these, and neither do you. We have other revenue streams. Would you be okay with doing these and donating all the money to helping kids fighting cancer? And JP, it wasn't even like a thought. He's like, dude, of course. Like, of course I'll back you because, you know, he knows how much, you know, obviously this means to me, and he's very tight with my family and myself, and so I'm just proud that I have a partner who aligns with my vision and my mission. We both align in the sense that we're not in it for the money. We're in it to try and rise the tides, we call it, to help affiliates, you know, make a sustainable living and at the same time help kids with cancer.
Was there a minute there when you said it wasn't making money, the seminars weren't good, that you guys were thinking about not doing them anymore, but now that we have this better cause, it's like extra motivation to keep pushing it forward?
Not really. You know, I don't think the money was ever really a driving factor for us. It wasn't even, you know, we had discussed what it might look like as a financial model, because just from a business sense, that's what we wanted to do. Certainly you don't want to go into a high-end hotel in Miami and bear yourself down into 20 grand in debt on something you're trying to do for a good cause. But did it give us extra motivation? Sure. But we were already motivated to help, you know, the functional fitness community, because we had seen all the holes and gaps, and we saw the pain and struggle that so many of people that not only that we knew personally, but just had seen in the landscape were hurting. You know, they were struggling.
Now, on another note, too, is like JP and I, we come from real life experiences. You know, between us, we have 40 locations, we have a couple hundred employees. When we talk in not like out of a book. We talk in real life practical application. Like Ben, you went to it. We're just sitting there, and we have a, you know, we have some context we try and hit, but in general we're just explaining how we do certain things to become profitable and have sustainable with real life examples. And I think what that was missing in our space, where a lot of people, they want to talk in these generalities, but I want to talk about actualities. Like, this is what we do right now to grow membership.
Well, I think that was really cool for me, just having experienced Box to Business. You guys were answering questions that I didn't even know how to ask yet. Right, so I didn't know how to ask the questions about what systems or what I needed. And so you guys just started talking. There was enough information there for me as an affiliate owner, and I own two locations, to actually just go home and have like a ton of homework to do and a ton of things to put in place.
Yeah, you know, we're constantly having those realization moments, epiphanies, where we have to look at each other and remember you know, why it's so important to what we do, so that we can reassure ourselves when we have the honest talk, the tough talk, as we call it, with certain either future location owners or existing location owners, and let them know what the real is, right? As a, you know, Blair and I were talking before the show, it's you, people don't just succeed because you give them the 10 points to how to succeed, right? To us, that's just a bunch of bullshit, truthfully. Are we allowed to curse on the show? Is that allowed? So we'll bleep that out.
We'll bleep that out.
We'll get that out in editing. So it's just a lot of BS. So to us, we'd rather skip the 1 through 10 and just get down to what the actuals are so we can really break through, right? We got to break through to you on what it's going to take, because it's not about the 1 through 10.
Talking about existing gym owners compared to, like, prospective gym owners, do you find that it's easier for someone who is fresh to the game to, like, set things up the right way the first time? Or is it easier for a gym owner to make the kind of, like, correct course midstream and once they have some momentum?
I'll let him answer after this, but I feel as if really what it comes down to is the same thing as an athlete. It's the same thing as anyone else. If you're coachable, you can already be on the wrong track and have some bad habits, and we can coach you out of them, right?
Okay.
As long as your passion is there and you have the proper talent to succeed, and we can discuss that in a separate conversation. That's the first thing. If you're new going in, you're gonna have the eagerness, right? And hopefully you have the open mind to want to learn. Because if not, if you're already dead set on your ways, then really you're just going to seminars for the sake of being seen and or being heard, which is like the worst way to be in, right?
Right, and that's I see that a lot. People like pretend that they want help, but aren't really open to changing their mindset.
And we see that a lot too. And that's a characteristic. They didn't sit back and look at it as a character flaw. I'll give you an example. We're at Box the Business, and we gave some homework, and only two people did it. And it's like, you know what? That's on you. We're offering our service, and everybody there knows we don't make any money on this. So we're doing it truly to help people. And at some point, you need to take a hard look at yourself and be like, hey, am I doing the best thing I can for my business? Am I doing the best thing, you know, for my priorities and what's going on in my life? And I think one of the biggest distractions that affiliate owners have, and gym owners in general, is they put their fitness in front of the fitness of their clients and their members. And I'll tell you, you know, that as a guy who obviously cares about my fitness, I don't care about my fitness more than I care about the 99% at our gym that's getting in the best shape of their life, getting off medication, things like that.
Was that always the case?
Always the case. You know, I knew from day one, I got into this thing early, right? Where there was no money. You know, in 2008, when I won the games, I won $1,500. You know, my sponsorships were like $1,000. Like, I'm not balling in 2008. And, you know, I started our gym with nothing. And the point being is that I started with nothing. I had no money. So I had to cater to the 9%. I had to cater to them because they're the ones that are paying the bills. I didn't have the opportunity to sit back and be like, well, I need to do muscle-ups in the middle of the class right now because that's all my training program. It's like, no. No. It's whatever the clients need, right? Now, over the years, things have changed where I could just say, hey, I'm going to live off sponsorships, whatever. But I still always want to create a sustainable business off the 99% getting the best shape of their life. And I really don't care about the competitors. You know, I had Camille at the gym today. I've had Froning there. I've had all these guys. I don't care who you are. If you walk in, go out of the way, because the clients take priority always, right?
Always.
And that's the way it should be, you know, and that includes your own fitness. You know, if you have to get 3 workouts in a day, well, you better wake up at 4 a.m. or you better, you know, figure it out, because, you know, you got to prioritize your business.
I think what's cool is you guys are both CrossFit Games athletes. You know, can you guys talk a little bit about the correlation between sport and business and like what the lessons you learn in sport are and how they can transfer over to business?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that actually ties into what Jason was just talking about, because if you take the sport out of it for a moment, right, it really comes down to, like, talent meeting work ethic, right? And so that has to be able to cross over, whether you're a games athlete, right, which we've competed at the CrossFit Games, you also have to have the work ethic to be able to carry that into your business, right? Now, there are phenomenal games-level athletes who haven't been able to turn that into the talent needed for the business side, right? But they have the work ethic because they've proven it in their training regimen, right? And so, like, going back to what Jason said, it's so interesting when we see other affiliate owners who teeter on that line, like, oh, do I want to continue to be an elite level owner? And we look at them like, what is an elite level owner? It should be somebody who has a good balanced level of fitness, but also has a sustainable, successful business, right? Because if you just have a high level of fitness and you can do 20 muscle ups in a row, but you have 19 members and you're losing money every month, I don't understand. Like, I'm concerned for the industry at that point of what your purpose is, right? Because now that low barrier of entry is actually just affecting the quality pool of everybody around you. And so, like Jason said, when we throw out homework assignments or requests before a seminar to, like, send us your financials because you've got two guys have proven we can do it, are willing to take time and actually review your financials and give you feedback, or like the last homework was, hey, you want to know if you're a good coach? Film it, send it to us. We'll actually, he and I, with a billion coaching hours combined, we'll tell you if it's good. Yeah, that's a B.
A billion with a billion B. And coaching
two,
hours.
To show up. You know, and what was interesting was that one video we got
was actually pretty good.
Was pretty good, and it was in a gym that was filled with humans. And you're going, yeah, probably because the talent of the individual met his work ethic, which was proven by the fact that he did the homework. He cared enough, as we like to say. He cared enough to actually do it.
Did Ben do the homework?
We're not here to say that, but here's something that's really important. And
I did do a lot of other homework.
I'm gonna be
and
talking.
Report it back to both
I'm
these
gonna be
gentlemen.
Talking in a minute about this, but it's about prioritizing things, right? And in life, you have to reprioritize your life sometimes and look at your. Like for me, my daughter gets sick. I have to reprioritize things. You know, I was competing at the CrossFit Games as an individual. My family, I had a son. I had a daughter, and I also had a son, and that took up more time. Then my business grew, right? All of a sudden, that takes on more time. And so you start looking at your life and saying, "Wow, I have my family, my business, and my fitness." Well, I was competing as an individual, but at some point you need to make the hard choice and say, I can't do all of these 100%. I need to look at my priority list and adjust accordingly, which is why I went team last year, because I didn't have the time to put in individual because I needed to know that I had to be there for my family and the business. And I think these people need to take a hard look at their own lives and understand where their time falls. Because time is the only thing we have all day, right? And now this year, for example, it was non-negotiable for me not to compete at the CrossFit Games. Like, I looked at my priority list. My family and the business are just taking off too much, and obviously I'm at the hospital a lot, and I think a lot of people need to take a hard look at themselves. Go sit in the jacuzzi, the sauna, the something. Take your phone, throw that thing away. Or not away, but just go throw it somewhere. And really take a hard look at, like, wow, okay, what am I really doing here? Am I spending 4 or 5 hours a day training? And what ROI, return on investment, is that really giving my life? You know what I mean? It's a hard discussion to have.
Yeah. Back to what you said, kind of piggyback on what Jason's saying. JP, you talked about where work ethic meets talent. What type of talent are you talking about? Because Jason said everybody has the time. If you want to take a hard look at yourself and rededicate, is it really just about hours in? Can everybody do this if they put enough work in? Or is there some sort of magic sauce that you need to have in order to be a successful gym owner?
You know, that's a great question. And I'm one of those guys that's willing to answer that directly. You know, not everybody has it. That's just the honest answer, right?
Do you mean like not everybody has it right now, or nobody? Like, there are certain people who like literally cannot learn it.
Yeah, there's just some people who can't be taught, and that's just the truth. That's the hard truth, right? That's the truth from back in the 60s and 50s where you could lose a baseball game and you don't get a trophy. Not every kid wins, right? That's where you have to harden the F up type of mentality, right? And that's how I was raised. You don't do well, you don't win, you don't get a reward. That was how, so that drove you to work harder. Nowadays, it's so much of like, well, if my mindset guru, you know, Guru Hasharabi said that if my mindset's in tune and I meditate for 20 minutes every morning, good things will happen, you know? And it's one of the things that Tony Robbins talks about not being the guru is just because you sit in your house every day saying, I don't want weeds in my yard, I don't want weeds in my yard, you're still going to get weeds unless you go out there and pull the weeds out, right? And it's the same thing in anything else. Now, in the confines of the business industry, and it's the same thing in the athletic side of CrossFit, not everybody will have it no matter how hard they work for it, right? Like I say, so last year when I qualified as a master's, I was training a little bit more and I performed well on game day. Business did suffer a bit. Now luckily I have a solid operation that they can come in and back me, right? So you wouldn't see it at the surface level, but I can see it from the team level. They're overworked, they're picking up a lot of the slack, right? Especially as we're in a heavy growth phase. This year, as I pulled back and focused more on the business, I still qualified but didn't perform well. But here's the thing, like as we talked about when he reached out to me, as I said, you know, Jason was like, well, you may not have podium here, but you're certainly winning in all the other long-term, sustainable, important areas.
Winning.
Absolutely. Winning. Yeah, right?
Like strong relationship, you know, with my girlfriend. Business is strong. The team is happy. Locations are showing net positive growth on a monthly basis. So nothing against the sport, but the podium, which would have maybe gathered me 10 grand if I won, by putting in 3 or 4 hours a day, what is the ROI, as Jason says, right? What would I have sacrificed when the long term of that, it's not there, right? Because on Tuesday, nobody cares, right? It's like my mentor would say, will it matter in a year from now? Will it matter in 10 years from now? Will it matter in 100 years from now, right? And if it only matters in a year from now, you're wasting your time. If it matters 10 years from now, put some focus on it. If it's a legacy that's going to carry, that's your entire life, like your kids, your family, a sustainable business that you can have health insurance and hot food on the table and a warm, you know, roof over your head in the winter.
Can you narrow down the talent you're talking about, right? You said not everybody has it. Is it an entrepreneurial spirit that you're talking about? Because that's a coachable type person. Is it tenacity? What would that look like?
Yeah, I'll pass this over to Jay.
Okay.
I have a good way to describe that. So to his point, I don't think people listening should be like, oh, I can't start a gym. But what they should do is take a hard look at themselves and say, what am I good at? What am I not good at? And like he's saying, there's some people who think they're good at everything, but they're really not, right? It's like you look at your fitness, for example. I could say, hey, I'm the best at doing muscle-ups ever. But if I can only do 3 in a row, I'm probably not the best ever, right? So I need to take a hard look at myself and be like, all right, you know, I need to take a hard look at my abilities and evaluate. So the point being is, in a gym business, you have 3 roles. You have the coach. You have an operator of the location, right? Kind of like, you know, all the day-to-day kind of stuff. And you have a back-end kind of like financial model, right? Well, you can look at that going into it and be like, what am I good at? What am I not good at? And that's where you need to make those hard decisions and be like, well, I'm not good at this, so I need to find someone to support that role. But what some people do is they think they're good at all 3 of those, but they're really not. And it's like having a false impression of your own fitness, right? You need to take a hard look and be like, okay, there's gymnastics, there's weightlifting, and there's running or monostructural, whatever. What am I good at compared to my peers? You need to take a hard look at yourself from a business perspective, and I had you too, where I'm not very good at finance. Like, I just am not. There was a time where I was paying a cell phone bill that was $700 a month for 5 years because I didn't know it was hitting our credit card until our CFO came in, right? I didn't know because that's not good. But I should have taken...
$700 cell phone bill is not normal?
No, it's not normal. It's a long story. Long story short, point being is I should have taken a harder look and made changes sooner. By hiring a CFO, it's now allowed me to go focus on what I'm really good at, right? And to JP's point, it's identifying what you're good at and what you're not good at, finding people to support you that are good at the things that you're not good at, and then honing your skills on things that you are good at.
Right. I think that when I went to Box of Business, what you guys really served as was a mirror, right? Like, you guys were like a reflection. I could see in the mirror who I actually was, right, as an affiliate owner, right? You go like, oh, man, this is how you figure out the price point of a gym? Oh, this is what you're supposed to do with an email list? Oh, this is what you're supposed to do with, you know what I mean, the systems in place? And so I think that that's almost like the best thing that you guys can do. You guys can talk about your business, but you guys were really focused on the people who were in the room, right? And that was incredible, because the seminar took, and you guys said it like 3 times during the weekend, it took a completely different turn than what you thought. You're like, should we just go into this? You know what? We should, because that's what you guys need.
Right, and that, you know, we love doing that, right? And we appreciate you said that it's more of a mirror, because that's how we feel we can really touch home to people. I mean, we had a guy after the last seminar write us a letter who was like, hey, man, I got back and I looked at myself in the mirror and realized that I was overweight. I looked like a homeless guy with aggressive, out-of-control facial hair. And my haircut, because I told a story about one of my seminar experiences.
The million-dollar haircut.
Right. And he's like, I realized I've got the million-dollar haircut. And he went through all these things. And it wasn't like he was body shaming, right? He was having a reality check. What I call a grown-ass man moment, right? Wipe the tears away and realize that what you're doing is not working. And so he looked in the mirror and he's like, how am I the mirror now for my members, right? If they're coming in and I'm supposed to be the leader, like my mentor would always say, you're never going to sign up members who don't feel like you have something that you can provide to them outside of just a good class. They need to see the leader walking around and go, there's something attractive about him, right? Like, all 4 of us sitting here right now, there's an attraction we have for each other, right? It's
totally. It's totally. Yeah.
Get it?
I'm glad you said something.
The elephant in the room has been addressed now. Some handsome dudes.
Yeah.
But there's something about us, right? It's charisma. It's a bit of an X factor, right? Like, maybe we can't speak for it right away, but we just see it. We go, oh, man, there's Ben. I want to go say hi. But I got to go say hi. Dude, those guys are winners. They're just good humans. But then you go, okay, well, if they were running a gym, it just shows I would sign up there, right? And now you could look around, or we've had moments with people in our seminars where you look at them and go, hey, man, unless you can acquire these X factor components, which maybe some are not you, you need to go hire the X factor, you're going to have a really hard time succeeding.
All right, let's talk about the evaluation process there, because when it's like an athletic thing, it's easy to know you suck at gymnastics and you can't do a strict handstand push-up, right? That's like obvious. You're asked to perform it, you can't perform it, boom, okay, I got to work on it, or I need to hire somebody to do the handstand push-ups for me. In business, like, how do you evaluate yourself? How do you hold the mirror up, other than going to one of your guys' seminars, if somebody's out there listening and be like, all right, I'm going to basically put myself through a gamut evaluation process. What are the things that are going to stick out to say, hey, you're not getting it done in this area?
Well, let's take it one by one. Step number one, can you coach? Well, when's the last time you filmed yourself coaching and reviewed it? Sometimes you have a false perception. Like, I might think I'm the most handsome guy in the world, but frankly, I'm probably not, right? And I could look at myself. I need to look at myself in the mirror, just like I need to look at myself on a video and watch myself coach. For years, I filmed myself giving lectures for CrossFit, and I would film them, and then I'd plan back. I'd be like, wow, I use the word a lot, or whatever. And so I think the first step is film yourself coaching, right? And then get third-party, unbiased, like, feedback. Meaning
respectable feedback, yeah.
Survey your members. Hey, how do you rate your coaches, right? Unanimous thing. Like, hey, how's your coaching experience? How is this? So I think why most people don't want to do that is because it's an opportunity for failure. In life, you need to put yourself out there. Anything that's worth getting, anything that's worth doing or worth getting, you have to put yourself out there. Take, for example, having kids. Having kids is one of the most amazing, blessed things ever. But you make yourself, you put yourself out there to something happening to someone you love, and you could get hurt by it. Or like a relationship. You put yourself out there, and you're giving your whole self to that person. They could screw you, and you could feel bad. Meaning, if you are reviewing your own coaching video, you're putting yourself out there, and you cannot get the answer you're looking for, that's the only way you can get better. And so I think it's member surveys. I think it's videotaping yourself. Member surveys also imply operational skills, right? Look at organization and looking at your numbers. Are you trending in the right direction? If you've plateaued for a year at your business, your operations and coaching is probably not on point. And then finances, that's pretty simple. Is the bank account, is the way that you know you're successful just by looking at your bank account and saying it's going in the right direction? Because for me, for 5 years, that's the way I did it. We were doing, you know, seven figures in revenue, right? And the only way I knew our company was making money was because the bank account trended in the right direction. I had no idea how much each gym made. I had no idea about anything because I just wasn't tracking it appropriately. And that was where I had to take a hard look and be like, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you guys gave that cool number of, I think it was a 25% return on sales,
right,
that you guys are looking for a strong gym before you even think about expanding or getting a second location or doing anything like that. And I thought that was a really great number for...
That's a hard number to get. That's
like, yeah. 20-25%, I think. Right.
For sure. One thing I wanted to mention was, and this is something that over the last few years, especially seeing how Jason's like core operational staff works, really even taught me a lesson in what I had. And at the time, I had more like commercial style gyms. And just talking about how like opening yourself up to feedback, as we started to engage, we were constantly giving each other feedback of, even in our own seminars, like, hey, how'd that section go? Or how'd you think of that? Or this went too long? Or let's try to do this. But even from a more ego standpoint, like the actual business, where we both go in like we're both experts, right? What I noticed was, Jason would hire people that he would were servicing as almost like an advisory board, right? So they were employees, but these were guys he respected. And because they're people he respected, which I think gets lost in a lot of affiliates because it's such an alpha community, that you have owners who hire employees, right? So if you read the Disney Way and you hear about how everybody's a cast member, they're all together in the one show. And I was doing that, but not even at the level that I was able to see from him, where he was hiring, whether he knew it or not, was guys that he really looked at as like advisors, where I would go in there and, you know, you think you're going to see Jason Kalipa and he's just going to be the dictator. He runs the show. This is how it goes. When obviously, if push comes to shove, that's how it's got to be for us, right? Because we are the ultimate vision of the brand and the direction it's got to go. But if you have one of your advisors, one of your teammates, one of your staff members who's giving you feedback and you can't respect it, you've hired the wrong individual. Now, I'm not talking about constant constructive criticism where it turns into insubordination.
Yeah. Right.
I'm talking about being able to sit down with somebody, because we do these seminars and two of his staff members become integral parts of what we do, right? They become part of the team. And we look to them for feedback, and who cares what their role is in the greater company? We respect their feedback.
Right, good idea is a good idea.
Lesson to learn for operators. So now I've, over the last 2 years, have slowly like converted my team. Now, I'm not saying that I've removed people, some I have, but I've kind of converted and modified the relationship so they understand, hey, I'm going to elevate you, which generally will help elevate me, but I'm going to want to hear your constructive feedback, but let's learn that respectable line that goes into insubordination, right?
Sure.
But at least I respect you, and I want you to advise me. Give me that feedback. I'm okay. It's okay if I fail. We'll grow.
So that's really cool. I have a question for each of you guys, but let me preface it with this. Blair and I, we've been training together for a long time, right? And he's a very different athlete than me, right? He likes to run. He can't lift very heavy. He uses women's weight typically when we do a workout. Nothing wrong with that these days.
I understand.
Yeah. So it's fun, but obviously he's got strengths and I have strengths, right? How have you guys strengthened each other, and what is the biggest thing that you've learned from each other?
If I were to sum it up into like one word, it would just be respect. It's just straight up like respect. So if you ask, I guess I'll answer first, right? So if you ask me like, what is it about Jason and his personality? I would just say, well, I respect it. I've seen him operate at the human level, and I respect it. He's proven he's a family guy. He's got a good moral compass. Here's something that I go off of, right, as a measuring tape. In good humans, there's two types of people, right? In good humans, there are those that try to do more things right, right? Or there's just those that wake up every day and just simply are going to do the right thing in their own moral compass. And so what I've always seen from Jason is that he's always just doing the right thing, as opposed to just being like, I should have, or next time I would. It's just like, I'm doing this because this is the right thing. This is how I operate. So on a human level, it's all about like respect. Then when you see it at the athletic level, because we all have that in common, you realize like this dude he practices what he preaches, right? He's all about it. You're going to get it in. There's no doubt. No matter how busy his day is, this dude's going to get it in. He's going to lay the smack down because he's almost killed me a couple times. All right. So I know that to be true. And then when you look at it on a business level, it was just so easy, man. When you roll in there and you're like, yeah, this dude gets it. Everything about it. He's got a strong team. They communicate well. He's the alpha leader, but he's got an advisory board, right? He's got friends that work for him that he's had for a long period of time. That's a telltale sign. Those are so many similarities that you're like, I need to be around this guy more because I want to win in life. And the only way to do that is to surround yourself by winners, right? It's like Warren Buffett's theory. You just, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Very cool.
And just to piggyback on that, first off, thank you, JP. I mean, for me, you know, with JP, I thought it was a great partnership because, you know, he has good intentions. From the beginning, we both agreed on our intentions of why we're doing Box to Business is to help the affiliates and not make money. It's not about money. And it's very rare to find someone, it's very refreshing, who's not so focused on the short term, like, I want to just make money. It's about something bigger. It's about doing the right thing. It's about helping people. It's about living a life that when you rest one day, people look back and like, hey, man, you actually tried to help people out. And my dad really instilled that in me at a young age. He's like, hey, I don't care what you do for a living as long as it's ethical. He goes, if it's not ethical, if you're not doing good things for people, then we have a problem, you know? And owning a gym has allowed me to really help people. And everybody needs to make money, but this is a way you can make money by actually helping people out. And JP and I really align on that. And his loyalty to what we have going on is really inspiring. You know, again, when he backs me up on everything with Ava and the, you know, everything that's going on, it's that loyalty is something that's very rare in people, you know? It's fun to see.
This question is also for both of you guys, and JP, you and I kind of addressed it a little bit off the air. You mentioned if you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah.
You also mentioned earlier, Jason, about, you know, not being afraid to put yourself out there. Talk about some of the failures you guys have had. You're obviously both very successful now, and you're teaching people what it takes to be successful both on a business level and kind of just as like a general direction of your life. But you had to go through hard times, had to go through failures. Specifically, I think those are really instructive for a lot of the listeners. So maybe if you guys can think of a couple things you've tried and failed, in within fitness and et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, in fitness, I mean, in 2009, I passed out on a run, right? And, you know, I fell, I blacked out.
Well, I didn't see you because I was at the finish line.
That's right, buddy. You know, I pass out, and Dave comes over, and he goes, "Hey, dude, if you don't finish this event, your games are over." And I was a past champ, right? And right there at that moment, I had an opportunity. I had to make a choice. Everybody has to make a choice in their life at these, like, pivotal moments. It's like, am I going to step up, man up, and finish this event like I promised myself and made the commitment, or am I just going to give up? And I think the real answer to what you're talking about is having a strong why and a strong internal why. So, like, why am I competing at the games? Why am I doing business? Why am I doing this? If you have a good, strong why, you'll be able to get through any hardship, right? Because you understand why you're doing it. If the reason why you want to compete at the CrossFit Games is to make money and to be famous, when things get really challenging, you're probably not going to do well because you don't have a strong internal why. But if your why is, hey, I made a commitment to myself to finish, you know, whatever, if it's a strong why, then you're going to do well. Same thing goes in business. Everything I do, I think about, why am I doing this? What is the intention? And do I have a strong why? And if I don't, I'm not doing it, right? Because the challenging parts will come up. I've lost a lot of money on things. When I was 16, I invested in a company called Batter Blaster. It was a waffle and a can mix. Lost my shirt on it. When I was 18, I invested in... Don't even worry about Batter Blaster, bro. You don't even know.
You needed JP back then. He would have told you. He's looking at you like you're crazy.
He was great. Okay, so you guys know when you make pancakes, right? You make normally like the whole batter, right? But if you just want one, then what happens to the rest of the batter, right? So now
I usually think measuring cup. I would think
no. Normally you'd waste it, right? So in this case, you'd have it in a can, just like Cheese Whiz. You'd pour it out into the pan. You'd make one pancake, and you're good to go. It was the greatest invention since sliced bread. But I learned a lot through that experience because. I learned a lot through that experience.
Because you lost your shirt.
I lost my shirt on that. I lost my shirt on something else. Had inventory issues. But every time I
failed. I remember that with the NorCal stuff.
But every time I failed, I feel like it's just helped me. I don't think, you know, it's just helped me to elevate even better, even in athletics and in business, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, on my front, I'll just keep it to straight business. Prior to getting into, like, the affiliate market, I had a chain of martial arts locations in South Florida during the hot times when there was like a resurgence in the martial arts world, right before the MMA thing took off, because that was my background, was in the fight game. And I was five locations deep in South Florida when the market crashed in 2008-2009 and ended up with, and at the same time, decided to go big. I built this massive headquarters, right, because my mentor and a few others were doing the same. And it was a hard lesson to learn. At the time, I was the dictatorship with no advisory board, and although I thought I had a pretty good business sense, ego and all the wrong reasons were taking over, right? My why was decent, but the how was weak, yeah? And so I was growing this megapolis that was out of my control at this time because ego had gotten into place. So it was like, I got to put in the nicest floors, I got to have the nicest this, everything was the nicest. And in 2009, you know, I filed for bankruptcy. A lot of people don't know that. And I moved back to L.A. I sold off everything I had and everything I could. Moved back to L.A., was sleeping in my buddy's house, who I have in L.A., and was riding around L.A. on a Schwinn bike. Bumped into a buddy of mine who's here who had a CrossFit gym nearby and immediately, again, sparked my why. Like, why aren't I still in this business of helping people, right? The martial arts world, I saw it took a turn and wasn't going in a direction. A lot of my mentors were involved in really shady business at the time. And it was
is that just a South Florida thing or what?
It's just it really is, man. And I had to pack up and move out because my dad, you know, he said to me on the phone one day, he goes, listen, man, there is no debtor's prison in the United States, right? So you can't go to jail for being in debt, and you can't go to jail when your ego is beaten. So pack your bags, move home, let's reset. And we'll, you know, in his words, like, you'll man back up and you'll do it again because I've done it 10 times before you. I've failed 10 times harder, and we still have done it. And you've always had everything you ever needed. And so I bagged it, went home. Within weeks, man, I fell into CrossFit. I'd already been doing it in my fight training and realized I could do this. I saw a hole in the market, and I just rebuilt from there and took the lessons I learned that were expensive and rebuilt and tried to do it the right way, you know, from there forward.
That's very cool. Well, we know you guys have got other appointments, and we don't want you guys late for those. But if you guys could – I mean, there's so many great sound bites that – we want to just make sure we touch on the Instagram question. Somebody asked,
sure.
There was actually only one question, we just posted it, was What do you guys feel like the commercial side of CrossFit, this is a CrossFit specific question, has kind of taken over from the community aspect?
Right. Okay. I'm gonna follow that question up with a little bit of context. We talked to Tommy Hackenbruck a couple weeks ago. His opinion was that the beating heart of CrossFit affiliates is the community, right? And that kind of can't be duplicated between different brick and mortar locations. In his opinion, his experience, that the same group of people or a group of people in one box, even though it may have the same name somewhere else, it's going to have a different feel to it because every gym has its own heartbeat. Do you guys feel like the commercial success, like the listener was saying, is kind of taken away from that, or is it still there?
You want to go first?
Let me go.
I'll summarize it like this. We have a lot of locations. They might have a slightly different feel because one might be a bunch of software engineers, one might be a bunch of whatever.
Right.
But that's okay. They're all united by one thing, fitness. Not anything but fitness. At our company, we don't preach or promote anything but fitness and health and lifestyle. That's it. If it's outside that scope, we're not interested in having an opinion on it because it starts to polarize our community. So how do you keep a strong community? You focus on what you're really good at, which is fitness, functional fitness at that. And, you know, sometimes people get wrapped up in the games. And I think the games, I have my own opinions on what they do for CrossFit in general. However, the community in CrossFit is still strong. It's strong because I showed up to a hotel 2 days ago. I walk in there. There's some guys with nanos on. I look at them. They look at me. I say, hey. They say, hey. They say, you want to work out? I say, great. 5 minutes later, I'm in a stranger's car going to work out with them. There's not another fitness program on the planet. Nothing that could ever mimic that. You're not going to see someone running on the street and be like, hey, you want to go run? You know, or, you know, spin class, right? Hey, you got spin shoes on. Let's go spin together. It's like, no, like you just don't do that. But in CrossFit, this united bond. And I hope it stays that way and doesn't get distracted off what we're really about. We are a fitness movement and nothing else, right? We're focused on fitness and health, going from sick towards fit. And as soon as gyms start focusing on anything else besides that, they're dropping the ball. Competitive CrossFit is not CrossFit, right? Getting mom off the couch is CrossFit.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, I second that. And then just to give an example of how we do it across state lines is really the heartbeat of keeping the fitness as the main focus, right? And making sure that you have a similar heartbeat in each location, right? Which stems down from leadership and how they've been trained. And so, you know, like just a prime example, we had a member come down. He had some time off, was coming down to L.A. for the CrossFit Games and then was going to zip up to Seattle, right? He's only coming for midweek. But he came from the New York location, came into L.A., and I wasn't even around much because I was getting ready for the games. I was out here. But he just assimilated so well into the community and was having such a great time. He canceled the rest of his trip, stayed in L.A., had been to the games, and I was finding out from other members that he like his whole 7 days was booked with events and activities that just spiraled from meeting one person at Brick to another person to another person. And now there's formed bonds and relationships, and that's what keeps those community tie-ins. And we just keep that. It's all about the quality of people, right? So right. Fitness is our focus, but if you have leadership that cares about the quality of people and not just the numbers, you will get that. That heartbeat will stay strong. But it all comes back down to the leadership as well, right?
Yeah.
It just has to be there.
That's kind of what we settled on, was that if things are slightly different, it's okay. It's okay. Like the main purpose is the same. You're not gonna have like a McDonald's where everyone is exactly the same, and it's probably better, honestly. Like the people in LA are a little bit different than the people in New York, but like you said, the leadership, the general feel, the focus on fitness, if that's all consistent,
Jay said is so important, right? If you take your focus away from what really matters, the 99%, you lose the heartbeat, right? Because this is only the 1% of the 1% can perform here. And if that's what you're so distracted by, you're losing sight of the people that are actually, they need you. The guy who comes in jacked with a two minute, 10-second Fran, he doesn't need you, right? He's gonna make you feel like you need him. I want the free membership, I want the free t-shirt, I want this, I want that, I want this, right? But when the person who actually needs you, then you can create that bond together, that's a lasting relationship, right? Around the common bond of fitness, and it should, based on the quality of service, last a lengthy period of time until life just takes other routes. But you want to be able to provide something to them that will matter in 100 years from now.
Yeah, so you are, Jason, you're going to go talk about the AMRAP mentality here in just a second. It's probably going to take you about 30 minutes to walk the 30 feet over to the Progenics booth. But can you just speak to maybe Ava and just where she's at now before we let you guys go?
Yeah, I mean, Ava's in her fifth month of treatment. We're going to go 2 more months of, like, pretty aggressive chemotherapy. We're in the hospital about 18 hours a week. We were in the hospital for a month in the beginning. Overall, our treatment's going pretty well. You know, at this point in time, I can say that it's not a life and death situation today, right? We have good outcomes. We're going to keep doing it. You know, she needed to get infused 2 days ago with platelets and white bloods. It's okay, though. All is well. It's a long journey. We have over two more years of treatment, but I'm confident all will be well. You know, we have a 98% success rate, and all we know is, like, the outcome's going to be beautiful. We just got a little couple, you know, it's like you're on a run, and you go up and down these hills. But you know, at the end of it, you're going to feel great when you get accomplished. Only times that by a billion when your daughter gets cured from cancer.
Ben just starts sweating thinking about it.
Oh my God. Blair, yeah, anyway, he can't relate to the running analogy quite like we can, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
I love a run.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's great to hear, man. I'm really happy about that.
If people want to follow Box to Business, what you guys are doing specifically in your gyms, and even what's happening with Ava, how do they follow you guys if they don't already know?
Well, my wife has a really cool thing called Ava's Kitchen on Instagram where she puts up food, of stuff that she cooks. I think it's really cool. I'm obviously Jason Kalipa, and then there's NC Fit, and we have Box to Business. And this guy's got...
I'm at Jarrett, J-A-R-E-T-T-P. You can follow me there or any of the Brick locations. Just punch it into Instagram and catch us. Follow us, yeah.
All right, guys, follow us at BTB Podcast, Beyond_Barbell on Twitter, and BTB Podcast on Snapchat for behind-the-scenes stuff. And go to iTunes, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating. Get more great content like these guys. Hey, thanks for being here, fellas.
Thank you.